You're listening to Lead, Sell, Grow the Human Experience Podcast. I am your host, Eric Konovalov, and I believe that we can achieve everything we want if we take our leadership, sales ability, and personal growth to a higher level. On this show, we share ideas on how to break through our invisible boundaries, start taking steps towards our dreams, and create the life we desire. I invite you to open your mind to new possibilities, new ideas, and to the truth that everything you want is possible for you. Thank you for being here and welcome to the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lead, Sell, Grow the Human Experience Podcast. I hope you guys are doing well. If you have not done so yet, get over to the Facebook group. Make sure you join so we can have some good conversations inside our Facebook group, Lead, Sell, Grow the Human Experience Tribe. Today, I have an incredible guest, Mike Swagonski. He's a best-selling author, remote work leader, and founder of globalcareerbook.com. That's globalcareerbook.com. He's an online business expert who has brokered millions of dollars in digital assets and helped build a nine-figure remote company, all while traveling to more than 100-plus countries. Today, he's joining us from Prague. And for those of you who don't know where Prague is, you got to look on a map because that's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. Mike, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks so much for the great introduction, Eric. I'm extremely excited to talk about traveling, remote working, and entrepreneurship. So let's go ahead and kick it off.
Yeah, let's do it. So I told you before we kicked off that, and most of you guys don't know this, but my dream and Julia's dream, that's my wife, for those of you who don't know, we want to create such a business that once the kids are moved out of the house, we can run it from anywhere in the world with our laptop, potentially get some speaking gigs too, but that's the dream. So Mike, as I was doing research on you, the term digital nomad keeps popping up. How do you define digital nomad?
Yeah, so for me, digital nomad is just anybody who can make money from a laptop and they can earn an income to fund whatever lifestyle they want. And under the nomenclature digital nomad, I like it to break it down into three main categories. The number one, which is going to be the most common, is going to be remote workers. Just anybody who can do their normal 9-to-5 job fully remote from anywhere in their state, in their country, or anywhere around the world. There's different subcategories of flexibility there. The second part is going to be freelancers, people who are making a freelance business. They're kind of the entrepreneurs, they're their own bosses. They can decide who they work with. And then the third category is going to be entrepreneurs. These are going to be people that have their own businesses. And inside the entrepreneurial category, there's people who have raised capital in Silicon Valley. There's people who've bootstrapped, and there's acquisition entrepreneurs who have acquired online businesses that are already profitable. And there's a lot of other subcategories in between each one of those. But to recap, remote workers, freelancers, and entrepreneurs are the three main categories that I talk about, or the three main pillars of digital nomads.
So how did you get into that?
So I got into this whole, you know, working and traveling thing with study abroad. So I studied abroad my sophomore year of college at the University of Missouri in Italy. And the next year, one of the coordinators for the program, you know, they saw me organizing groups with Italian students, Americans, organizing trips around Europe. They're like, hey, you seem to be naturally good at this, and you've kind of taken a leadership role within the community of study abroad students. You should apply to join and be a student manager. So I applied to be a student manager then the following year, and I was selected to lead the Prague study abroad program. And the cool thing about this study abroad program was you're essentially working for the University of Missouri. You're doing all the marketing, all the sales, you're teaching a course through the university. And then in the summers, you're taking a group of students over to whatever city you were selected for. And for me, it was taking students to Prague. The kind of hard part about my role was, one, I'd never been to Prague at this point. So I was trying to sell people on a location, a destination that I'd never been to. And two, the Prague program was struggling. They only had 7 students the year before. And the head of study abroad was like, if you don't get at least 15 students, we're going to have to shut the program down. So I was like, okay, if they shut the program down, then I'm out of a, you know, 2-year internship. I don't get to go overseas. And so I ended up just coming up with a marketing strategy, telling everyone who would, you know, talk to me about anything about Prague. And we ended up raising the students from 7 students to 35, which was the maximum.
Way to go.
So yeah, the study abroad was happy. The study abroad organizers were happy, both in the US and overseas. And then the next year we maxed it out again at 45 students. And it's now become one of the most popular programs. And I even have a study abroad scholarship for students at the University of Missouri. So once I graduated, I was like already hooked. I had the travel bug. I wanted to essentially go overseas, and I was interviewing for corporate jobs in the US, but really I was wanting to go abroad. So I decided to take my last group of students to Prague, and I was like, I'm just going to spend 2 or 3 months in Europe and try to find a job. And the first place I looked was with the connections that I'd made at the Czech University here. You know, I've been essentially working with them for multiple years. They saw my impact and growth in students, and you know, with a finance background, I had 2 years of teaching. You know, they're like, hey, you know, we have a teaching role. You can teach financial economics and essentially be a professor. So I was teaching students from the age of 20, some students who were older than me a lot of the times. And then when I graduated, my first job was teaching financial economics at a university here in Prague. So that was kind of the light bulb moment where I'm like, hey, I can move overseas. I can still have a job where I don't have to put my life on pause. A lot of people think they have to travel and stop for a year, but you can still continue your career. And essentially I kept doing this with physical jobs, but then slowly transitioned to remote working, where a lot of the jobs that I was doing, I could work remotely, but I had to be in the country. And then eventually I joined a tech company. There's a lot of steps in between this, but eventually I joined a tech company and I started a company where there was 4 or 5 of us. It was a company to buy and sell online businesses. And we helped grow the company to hundreds of people, all working remotely around the world. One of the fastest growing businesses in the United States. And that's an industry that I'm still kind of involved in, is brokering and helping people buy and sell profitable online businesses that are already making money and already cash flowing.
Why would anybody want to sell a cash flowing online business?
Good question. That's a very common question I get. And there's a lot of reasons. One of the main reasons is a lot of times these entrepreneurs have multiple businesses. And let's say they have 3 businesses. For every dollar they invest in business one, they're getting $2 back. Great business. But in business two, they're getting $4 back. But in business three, they're getting $10 back. So what they can do is they can sell to other businesses that are taking time and they're taking some of their money. They can sell those and invest it into the business that's getting the biggest ROI. So that's a very common one. The other one is sometimes people just get tired of the niche. Maybe they're not working as much on it. They've grown it as much as possible. They want to use that cash for something else, to buy a house, to buy another asset, to just hold on cash for a rainy day. And then there's the other times when people, they have a medical emergency, they're going through a divorce. They want to, you know, they need to pay for their kids' college funds. So they need to get the cash out now. There's a wide variety of reasons. But yeah, most of the time that's kind of the main reasons, but it really depends on the business, the entrepreneur. And that's definitely something, if you are buying a business, you should definitely dig into the reason behind why they're selling a business, because you see these businesses and some of them don't require a ton of work, but it's still kind of that headspace, even though they're not working a lot on it, it might still take up a lot of their headspace. So they want to just have a clean break and move on to the next project.
Yeah. Well, Mike, let me ask you this. Tell me about, because I'm still trying to wrap my head around like what type of online businesses there are that people are selling. Can you give me a couple like pretty profitable deals or pretty profitable businesses that you help broker the deals with?
Yeah. So I just am wrapping up a deal right now. I'm in the midst of it. I can't disclose too many details, but I can talk about the profit and stuff. So essentially I'm helping somebody who is a farmer. I helped them get a remote job about a year and a half ago. And now I'm helping them buy an online business to completely replace their income. And this individual was wanting to buy a business that, you know, we could essentially grow from day one. And this business is making around $5,000 a month in profit. It's a subscription business. It's all kind of online. There's not really, you know, much work required. and there's a clear path for growth to really get their initial investment back.
What are they selling online?
I can't say exactly.
Type of product?
But basically, yeah, it's essentially a subscription service for a digital product. That's okay. as much as I can disclose.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one of the great things about online businesses, but there's all types. There's physical products. So if any of you have bought something on Amazon, this is kind of the hot place for businesses right now, Amazon FBA. So about 50 to 60% of products on Amazon and 50 to 60% of all of Amazon's revenue comes from third-party sellers. So people who have created a product and they're selling it on Amazon. And these businesses are sellable assets that people can, you know, after they built this business, they have a bit of a moat around their product. They have hundreds of reviews. They can actually sell these businesses. And that's become a billion-dollar industry in its own. There's literally a lot of these traditional funds that are just putting together hundreds of millions of dollars, even billions of dollars to create a fund just to solely buy these Amazon FBA businesses. And that's become probably the hottest market for the buy and sell industry. And the main reason is because I think a lot of the traditional money can't really seem to wrap their head around investing millions of dollars unless there's a physical product involved. Where me, I'm like, I don't want any inventory. Even on the best physical products, there's still margins of 30%, 40%. But digital products, it's literally the sky's the limit for scaling. There's no inventory. Your margins are like 99%. So that's kind of why I stick with digital products. And I've had my own software business acquisition. So the things that I really love are recurring customers, digital products where you can get in, change the prices, change the product, and you have no margins or really good margins on the actual products.
Yeah, wow, that is pretty cool. So if you were starting all over, knowing what you know now, right? And somebody said, all right, you got to create an online business that you can run from anywhere in the world. What would you create?
I would probably stick with some type. It depends on how much knowledge I have, but I would say probably a coaching business is the easiest to get started. Figure out some sort of skill you have. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be a couple steps ahead of the people that you're helping out. I would say a coaching program or creating a digital product, whether that's an info product or a course. I think that's one of the businesses where you can get started relatively quick. There's not a lot of overhead. It's fairly easy to get customers within, you know, a few weeks of getting the website up and running. You can actually sell, you can pre-sell your idea. And that's what I recommend a lot of people doing is if they have an idea, test it out. Don't spend a year building the course or the program. Just get what the offer is, figure that out, and then try to sell that before you actually go and build the product. And then once you get people on board, you can actually do this live. So I've done this with courses in the past where we get beta students involved. We test the idea out and then they're getting a live training. So every week we're just getting on calls and going through a step-by-step process. And then we're using those recordings to build a program that we're later selling to people. So it's building as you go. So that way you kind of can figure things out as you go. Your content is going to make a lot more sense because you're getting immediate feedback from your students. So yeah, I would say if I had to start all over, courses and programs are probably the best way to get started because you can really, you know, all you need is two or three people to sign up for these programs and you're making 10K a month and not needing to put in a ton of time to do that.
Yeah. Wow. That is so interesting, man. So are you doing any coaching now or are you just strictly helping broker these deals?
Yeah. So I have an acquisition program where I basically take people through buying businesses. So I talk to the people and see what, you know, what type of budget they have, what type of skill set and background they have. And then I go out and find deals that match up and align with that. Then I help them broker the deal, actually structure and negotiate it. And then I implement and help them build a plan to grow the business to get their investment back as soon as possible. So for example, this recent acquisition, just within the negotiation phase alone, they more than doubled or tripled what they're paying me for. So it's a huge ROI just on that. And then with my growth strategy, I think we're going to be able to grow this business from $5,000 a month in profit easily to $10,000, probably within 2 to 3 months.
What does it take to work with a guy like you?
Usually my retainer is around $2,500 a month. So it's not too crazy, but you know, if you're buying a business for $100,000, $200,000, it's well worth it, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then with buying the business, are there any seller financing, or you got to usually have, like, how much cash should somebody have and come to the table with?
So we structured this deal. It was around $200,000. We structured a deal for $125,000 upfront, and then the rest with seller financing, which was $25,000. So $150,000, $50,000 negotiation window there, which is a huge amount. And then seller financing. So $25,000 paid out over 10 months. So there is options for seller financing. It's always an option. And that's what I like to do, is to get creative on these structures to really find a win-win scenario for the buyer and seller and make sure that we're kind of reducing the risk. So,
yeah. And are you the one doing all the analysis to make sure the business is profitable, or do you have people who do that?
So I work with brokers and marketplaces that have a curation standard. So I know from, you know, day one that it's been through some sort of rigorous testing to make sure that it's a legitimate business. So that's already starting there. But then I'm doing my own analysis. I'm checking the SEO, I'm checking the backlinks, the traffic, everything that goes into the business, what's actually included, verifying some of the expenses, talking to the seller to just make sure I get a good vibe from them. And just, there's some of it that's just gut, and some of it that you just, it's hard to put on paper, like what's going to be a good deal or not. But it's really hard to really understand a business until you talk to the seller. So that's at least from my experience. Some people buy businesses without doing that, but I find it a necessary step in the buying process.
Oh yeah, I would imagine. All right, let me ask you this. If you're reverse engineering, right? If I'm creating a business that I know I want to sell in 10 years, what are some of the things I should put in place to make that business really sellable?
Yeah, so I think everyone who's building a business, there's a really great book called Built to Sell. And I highly recommend, if you're building a business now, to read this book and try to structure it in this way. It's kind of the Bible for this industry. Is, you know, it's really talks about how to structure your business as one, a sellable asset. And if you structure your business as a sellable asset, you're actually going to have a better business. So a few things are just trying to make sure that the business can run without you. So structuring it in a way where you're not essential for it. So that's going to be probably involving some sort of outsourcing to employees, to other people in your business. There's a lot of, it can be hard in the coaching industry, because a lot of times they're having to get on a sales call. They're having to get on weekly calls with this person. And, you know, some of that stuff, it's a little bit hard to outsource. And that's why I think it's great to create a program. So once you've had 5 or 10 coaching students, figure out what is the fastest way you can take them from where they're at to success, and then make that into a standardized program. Because it's very difficult to just sell a coaching business, but it's a lot easier to sell a digital product or an info product. Some of the great ways are, you know, instead of Matt's coaching program, try to figure out what the outcome is and build a business and a program around that. Maybe it's, you know, instead of Matt's videography courses, it's, you know, Video Pro in 3 weeks or something like that. And that Video Pro course is a lot more sellable than Matt's videography program.
Yeah.
So doing that, and then trying to make it structured in a way that, one, it can be run from anywhere in the world. Two, a buyer can go in and within 2 to 3 weeks kind of learn the ins and outs of the business to run it. Other than that, yeah, making sure that the acquisition strategy of customers is something that they can actually replicate. So usually that's going to be through paid ads or some type of traffic strategy, either SEO, organic through Google, or paid traffic. If you're doing LinkedIn outreach, yeah, maybe that can be replicated. But if you're going on live streams and, you know, basically cold pitching people that way, it's going to be a little bit harder for a buyer to do that. And basically, a lot of people that have $200,000, $300,000, millions of dollars, they're not wanting to buy a job. So they want to buy a business where they can essentially just outsource everything and just take the cash flow.
Yeah. So it sounds like digital products, a nice community that's active, and a bunch of buyers where they can continue to pump digital products to who will continue to buy. Huh. Very, very cool. Yeah. Tell me about your book.
Yeah. So my book's called Global Career, How to Work Everywhere and Travel Forever. Essentially, it follows my journey of working and traveling around the world and trying to help other people take actionable steps to really either become a remote worker or become an entrepreneur or become a freelancer. So it kind of helps people out in all those aspects. And it also talks about studying abroad. It's geared towards a little bit of a younger generation, but I've talked to people who are 60 and they loved it. So it's been well received from people in the US and all over the world so far. And yeah, basically the book just shows you that you can build a global career. You can advance your career while still doing something you love and traveling around the world. So it definitely talks about how you can build that sort of lifestyle where you can work and travel and structure life where, you know, a lot of people use the word passive income. I don't think any business is ever fully passive, but there are some businesses that are a lot more passive than others. So that's definitely something that the book talks about is how to kind of structure your perfect life. And I think everyone, you know, needs to figure out what they want. And it's always a balancing act.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me about your summer. Like right now you're in Prague. Where were you before and where are you going next?
So before I was cruising around the Mediterranean. And then after that, so basically we started in Italy and then went to Cannes, a bunch of islands, Palma, Corsica. And then where else did we go?
Malta.
We didn't go to Malta, but I have been to Malta. I really liked it.
I love that place. Yeah.
I think Portofino was my favorite stop on the cruise. And I've been all over Italy. So it's definitely a place that I really enjoyed was Portofino.
Can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 33.
You're 33. You look a lot younger, by the way. So take that as a compliment.
Thank you.
You've been doing this digital nomad thing since college.
Yeah. So basically I studied abroad when I was a sophomore. So around must have been like 19, I think. And then yeah, I basically moved abroad when I was 22 and I've been living overseas since.
Did your parents kind of raise you to have that type of curiosity and want to go do it? Or where did that develop from?
Yeah. So I would say like a big part of the travel bug was from my dad. We took a trip and I didn't go overseas till I'm from Wildwood, Missouri. I didn't really leave the country till I was like, I think first time was 18 to go to Mexico. And that was just, you know, for a week or so. We weren't some like jet setting family or something like this. And then my dad took me and my brother on a trip to Italy and we did a cruise. And that's kind of where I really started loving. I was like, man, I love Europe. I want to go back to Italy and study abroad. And then I convinced my parents. I was like, hey, you know, these courses go towards my degree. It's like the same actual prices that we would pay anyway. So like I kind of pitched them on it, created a little spreadsheet and stuff. And yeah, so basically that's kind of how I got started with traveling. And I would say, yeah, a big aspect of my travel comes from my dad. And it was great. We were just traveling together and on this cruise. So it was really nice being able to kind of see the world together.
That's awesome. I got two little kids. I always wonder, like, how do I answer certain questions? What do I let them do at this age so that they have that type of curiosity? So that they are, I love that about you, man. A lot of Americans are not like that, right? America, greatest country in the world. I'm staying here. I was stationed, I'm prior service military. I don't know if you knew that, but I was stationed in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And one of my neighbors was born in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and has never left Jacksonville, North Carolina. And it's like, oh my God, you're missing out. There's so much out there to see.
It is one of those things that, yeah, you once you travel, it really opens your mind, your eyes, and your viewpoint. And I would say, like, I grew up in Wildwood. I grew up exploring the woods and just, like, as a kid, I was so curious. So I think a big part of that, and then also reading, like, The Hobbit was a huge, like, book for me because it's just kind of, like, exploring and going on adventures and then watching Indiana Jones with my dad. I think all that stuff really, like, even though I wasn't really like traveling around the world, it kind of like gave me this quest for adventure.
Hey man, good for you. And look at that. Your parents said yes. And now you're kind of helping others create their dream and living a life. So Mike, thanks a lot. Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't?
That's a good question. Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I would say that the biggest hurdle is for people to get started. So try to take action today. And again, if you guys need help, reach out to me. I'm happy to answer questions on LinkedIn or Instagram. But you really need to take action. And one of these things that I suggest people is to take a break, take a step back of their life, kind of reassess it, and figure out which route they really want to go in. And if you're not building a life now, it doesn't matter what ladder you're climbing. If it's the wrong ladder, you need to pivot to a different wall, right? So I think that's a really important thing. And just kind of reassess what you want to do and what you want to be. The world has changed completely in the past 3 years. There's a lot of options now to live a better and more flexible life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. The how doesn't really matter. How you're going to get there, it doesn't matter. Just figure out what it is that you want to do.
Exactly.
And opportunities will open up.
Definitely.
Mike, thanks a lot for being here, man. I had a blast. I learned a ton from you. You're a rock star, and I wish you a lot of success in your future.
Thanks so much, Eric. And let me know if we ever cross paths somewhere around the world. It'd be great to meet up for a drink or a coffee.
100%, my friend.
You've listened to another episode of Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave us a nice review. And if you're not a part of our tribe on Facebook, be sure to head over to Facebook and join Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience tribe. I look forward to speaking with you in the tribe. Have a great day.